Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday, April 3rd edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Gonzaga and North Carolina play tonight for the national championship, and we look to conclude our outstanding year of picking games against the point spread in the desert with one final win tonight. The Kentucky Basketball Autograph Tour has begun with an unfortunate name. How come you hear so many great reports of Drew Barker at UK football practice when there's no media allowed to watch the practices? A former five-star basketball recruit who UK tried to get last spring announces he's going to transfer, making him available to anyone again. And oh, by the way, today's opening day for the Cincinnati Reds. Surely they can't be as bad as last year, but please don't call us Shirley. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Tonight, North Carolina versus Gonzaga for the national championship. North Carolina has seemingly been here before many, many times. And I love it when people say, wow, North Carolina hasn't won the national championship since 2009. It's been 8 years. They act like it's such a long time. Whereas Gonzaga, obviously, since this is their first Final Four, it's the first time they're playing for the national championship as well. Our documented picks in college basketball this year, just a shade under 70% on the season. If you can hit 65 to 70% of your college basketball picks any season, it's outstanding. The best in the world hit less than 60%. Now, granted, we picked a little bit less than 100 games on this show, while the professionals pick a lot more than that. But still, I'll take 65 to 70% at anything for the rest of my life and own several casinos out in the desert. But as far as this game goes, when this matchup was made official on Saturday, our friends in the desert made Carolina a 2-point favorite. Now, does that mean that they think North Carolina is the 2-point favorite in this game? Or are they trying to get equal action on both sides? Much more of the latter than the former. But if you look at any metric, Ken Pomeroy has Gonzaga a 4-point winner. Jeff Sagarin has Gonzaga a 1-point winner. ESPN BPI has Gonzaga a 3-point winner. It's the David versus Goliath principle. Goliath is obviously North Carolina, and David is obviously Gonzaga. Maybe not on the court, but in terms of public perception. So you're getting value here with Gonzaga. Against the spread this year, Gonzaga 23-10, but only 1-3-1, they pushed a game, in the tournament. North Carolina, on the other hand, in the ACC, 19-16 against the spread in the tournament, 2 wins, 2 losses, and a push. Both teams have pushed a game in the tournament. These two teams met in 2009 in the NCAA tournament. That was the year North Carolina won the national championship, and North Carolina won that game by 21. Now, that game doesn't mean anything now, because the only two people at that game that will be there tomorrow night are the coaches. Gonzaga has allegedly had one of the easiest roads to the championship game in history. The highest seeded team that they played was number 4 West Virginia. They played number 11 Xavier in the regional final, number 7 South Carolina in the national semifinal. So in terms of seedings, this is a huge step up for Gonzaga. Obviously, North Carolina has more potential NBA players on their team, has a more experienced and a more proven coach on their team, but all that pedigree stuff is just a big pile of crap. We're trying to pick one winner in one game for the national championship. And if you followed us all year, you know a few things about our picks. One, we love underdogs. That's all we take. And two, we like to go against the public perception. And as of this taping, North Carolina has about 55 to 60% of the public money. Now, that's not a huge majority, but that's still a majority. And let's just be honest. When you were filling out your bracket 3 weeks ago, did you have the balls to put Gonzaga out at the end? You knew they were good. You knew they were going to win a few games of the tournament, but did you really, honest to God, think that Gonzaga was going to make it? Very, very few people had the guts to put Gonzaga all the way out at the end of their bracket. We did here at the bottom line. We had Gonzaga beating North Carolina in the national championship game. We also had Louisville and Villanova in the Final Four, but that's another story for another day. So we'll go ahead and say it. The 2017 National Champions in College Basketball are from Gonzaga. 77-74, Gonzaga by 3, and they'll cut the nets down in Arizona to win the National Championship. Who would have said that in mid-November when the season started? Certainly not us. Gonzaga wins the National Championship tonight, and you can take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it.
All right, folks, let's talk right now. I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will blow this man out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners.
In other college basketball locally, the end of the college basketball season in springtime means that the seniors and the players that are turning pro for Kentucky hit that little autograph tour that takes them to these places around town and around the state and lets people throw out $25 an autograph to get these players to sign anything. So, Derek Willis, Dominique Hawkins, no more eligibility, so now they can go around and sign autographs for money. This past weekend, they were at Fayette Mall, and apparently they were lined up around the block. And they showed pictures of them, and I'm going to tell you right now, the whole thing I was thinking, every one of those people, $25 a pop. And let's just say, there were a lot of people lined up at Fayette Mall over the weekend. But this happens every year, and I don't blame these guys. Hawkins, Willis, they'll never be as popular as they are right now. Which brings me to my next point about this autograph tour. Do you remember the name Keeley Potts? Well, I haven't remembered that name for a few weeks. The reason why I remember that name now is because she was the girl that was proposed to at senior night by Derek Willis. In an absolute cheeseball move, knowing that it would never get any better for him. He better propose to this girl because at least she wouldn't be able to say no in front of 24,000 people. I can promise you this. Look these guys up in about 10 years. There's no way Derek Willis will still be married to this girl. But anyway, Keeley Potts, I don't know if she's part of the autograph tour as well, but she's there. Stand by your man, Keeley Potts. Ride that gravy train as long as you can. Because believe me, it's ending very soon. But who do I fault with all this? And I'm going to tell you this, Big Blue Nation. If you're paying $25 to Derek Willis's fiance to get her autograph, for the love of God, look in the mirror and see what's gone wrong with your life. And I'll also say this about the Big Blue Nation. If you are standing in line, wanting autographs from these guys, and you're over the age of, well, I'll give you 18, although that's a stretch. If you have a kid and you're taking them to get their autograph, that's fine. Let your 8, 10, 12-year-old kid get an autograph of their favorite basketball player for the University of Kentucky. Go ahead. That's fine. But if you're an adult and you're standing in line just to get an autograph from these guys because you want it for yourself, you are a sad and pathetic individual. And I'm sorry if this hits some of you people the wrong way, but I don't have one autograph in my possession from anyone. And from living in Atlanta for 20 years, believe me, when you go out, you run into people that you know. From the sports world, from the political world, from the media, you name it. You see people you know when you go out to certain places in Atlanta. I can promise you this. I saw Ronnie Gant, who was a former Braves player in the 90s. I saw him at least 100 times a year in those early 90s years. And I never asked him for any kind of autograph. I can promise you that. Why? Because I'm an adult, I live in big boy world, and I actually have some self-respect. So I'm not gonna go ask anybody for autographs. And I'm sorry, if you're an adult and you're sitting in line for hours to get autographs from these kids, look in the mirror and ask yourself where your life went wrong. Now, if that rubs you the wrong way, fine. I stand by what I'm saying, and you should be ashamed of yourselves. By the way, this little autograph tour, you can look it up on Twitter, hashtag KYBoysTour. Really? Don't you think that's a little degrading? KYBoysTour? I'll let you do the math on this one and figure out why that is a humiliating title to an autograph tour. KYBoysTour. Apparently this tour has started in Lexington over the weekend. Now it's going to Elizabethtown and then Cold Springs. And I'm going to be honest, I don't know where Cold Springs is. and then to Ashland. And I'm sure some of these freshmen who are going to be turning pro, they should join up on this tour as well. They should cash in a little bit of money. And where's Michael Mulder on all this? He should cash in and get a couple of dollars too. Did they not let Michael Mulder in because he's not a KY boy? Wow. Props to you, Derek Willis. Props to you, Dominique Hawkins. God bless you. Your career's over, and you'll never be unemployed in the state of Kentucky ever again, because people will bend over backwards to help you out and get you a job if you need one. But let me just tell you this. The fame and the spotlight is almost gone. You better cash in while you still can.
Randy Savage, let me first of all thank you for allowing us into your home. But what about the allegations from Ric Flair? The photographs. And then Ric Flair saying that Elizabeth, well, let me quote him. Randy, he said, she was mine, Randy Savage, before she was yours. Randy Savage, what are you thinking?
Just what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
Other college basketball news. This time last year, Kentucky was still trying to fill out their roster with a big man, and they were recruiting a kid named Marcus Bolden, who eventually wound up going to Duke. After a horrible season, an injury-filled and bench-sitting season at Duke, says, I'm gone. I'm leaving Duke. And when he was being recruited last year, apparently Kentucky and Duke were the only two options at the end that he was choosing from. So what's stopping him from going to Kentucky now? Well, there is this little fact that he's got to sit out next season, but most people thought by now he'd be heading to the NBA. Now, by transferring and not declaring for the draft, he's got another 2 years. Bolden had a horrible year this year for Duke. He got injured, and then when he was somewhat healthy, he just didn't play. So you're still having to go on what you saw in high school. And to be honest, I want to know the real reason why he's leaving Duke, because something tells me the truth has not been reported fully yet. So there you go, Big Blue Nation. Here's your second chance to get this Bolden kid. He's Duke's version of Scal Labissiere from last year. The only difference is, instead of going pro, he just said, I'm out of here.
Can I ask something?
You want to leave the room?
No, I want to ask the Reverend.
Well, please, go right
ahead. Have you performed many services for the dearly departed?
Many occasions, many.
How hard is it to get the gold out of the teeth?
You stop.
What? Just ask a question.
Spring football practice going on at UK. Here's what I enjoy about this time of year. I have heard and read a lot of positive reports about Drew Barker. You remember him. He was the quarterback that everybody was pinning their entire season on last year until he got hurt in the second game when they were 0-2. And then Kentucky changed their entire offensive attack, went with a kid named Steven Johnson, and then all of a sudden they won 7 games and made a bowl game. But apparently Drew Barker back and better than ever for Kentucky football. But how would anybody know? There's no media allowed at these practices. There's no really reporting from these practices. How is the media getting a hold of all these little tidbits saying that Drew Barker looks great at UK football practice? Is that Kentucky football trying to plant that seed of discontent so they can finally get rid of Steven Johnson? We've said this before. Steven Johnson deserves to be the starting quarterback next year. He's proven it on the field. He's proven it off the field. But for some reason, if Drew Barker starts the season as the quarterback of this team, you can point back to these spring practices when these little reports about how good Drew Barker's looking have been spilling out, and there's been no media allowed to be at these practices. That's totally coming from the UK people. So there you go. You don't think you have a quarterback controversy? If you look at the numbers, there's no reason to have a quarterback controversy, but it looks like Kentucky is trying to manufacture one.
Rise and shine, all you humanoids. That's right. Get up and call your neighbors and call your friends if you have any. And wake up that big fat wife of yours, because history's going to be written tonight.
Stay tuned for all the excitement of the world champion Cincinnati Reds. Reds Radio is produced solely by the broadcast department of the Cincinnati Reds Incorporated.
Hey, in case you missed it, and judging by the attendance you have, baseball season has started. It started yesterday with 3 games. It's good to see that the Giants haven't changed at all. Getting a great effort from Madison Bumgarner, quite possibly one of the top 3 starting pitchers in baseball. And then handing it over to a shoddy bullpen that blows it, including Mark Melancon, who they signed to big money to be their closer this offseason. But opening day, when I was a kid, it was the Cincinnati Reds who always played the first game. They always played on a Monday afternoon. And the Reds, since they were baseball's first major league team, always had the honor of leading off and being the first game played. Now, somehow, someway, in the last 30-plus years, the Reds have been ripped off of that honor, but the city of Cincinnati still treats it like they're playing the first game because they still have a parade and they have all the ceremonies. Now this game will be played at 4 o'clock on Monday afternoon. Odds are, if you're listening to this, this game has either already started or it's already been played. The Reds this year will be fielding the youngest team in all of Major League Baseball, average age just under 27 years old. Nobody else in the league has a roster with an average age younger than 27. They're going to be putting 7 rookies out there, and 5 of those 7 rookies are going to be pitchers. And in fact, the opening day lineup for the Reds, Billy Hamilton in center. I'm looking for a big year out of him. Hamilton will have his best year so far. Jose Peraza batting second, playing second. Peraza was outstanding the last 2 months of last season. Odds are he'll continue that. Bottom line favorite and the most underrated player possibly in the history of Major League Baseball, and the target of all the Cincinnati media hatred, that's you, Marty Brenneman. Joey Votto batting third. No reason to see his numbers fall off. Adam Duvall playing left, the cleanup hitter. Don't look for a year this year as strong as he had last year. Eugenio Suarez, your fifth place hitter, playing third base. Don't look for a year as good as he had last year from him either. And by the way, he didn't have a very good year last year. Scott Schebler will bat sixth and play right. He should have a better year this year. Zach Cozart, who if you listen to this show regularly last year, we tried to tell you for 2 months that that hot start he got on was a mirage, especially when he was leading the National League in batting average in the middle of May. And of course, as we predicted, he ended up hitting 252. Cozart will play shortstop. He's 31 years old, and he's a career 241 hitter. And I'll promise you, he'll be traded before August the 1st. Tucker Barnhart, your catcher, because as the Cincinnati Inquirer reported today, there's no timetable for the return of Devin Mesoraco. Wow, there's a shocker. Mesoraco is hurt? What are you going to tell me next? The world is round? It's not flat? You don't say. If Mesoraco gets 100 at-bats this year, I'll be shocked. And Scott Feldman will be your starting pitcher for opening day. Scott Feldman, you say, opening day pitcher. Well, let's look at Mr. Feldman. He's been in Major League Baseball for 12 seasons. Career record 71-77. ERA 4.40. OPS Plus, where an average pitcher has a score of 100, his is 97. Oh, but teams love him, right? No. The last 5 years, Feldman has played for 5 different teams, including last year with Houston and Toronto, where he had a 3.97 ERA and a 1.37 whip, and that's not that good. So congratulations, Scott Feldman, your 6th team in 6 years, and yet you're the opening day starter. That's how sorry this Reds rotation is. And don't forget, last year, this was statistically the worst pitching staff in the history of Major League Baseball. But some of the key culprits are gone. Alfredo Simon, thank God he's out of there. Jumbo Diaz, JJ the Moves Man Hoover, and Russ Ohlendorf on baseball, all gone. So that can only mean good news for the Reds, right? Well, when you've got 5 rookie pitchers on your pitching staff, that doesn't exactly lead you to think that things are going to change overnight. The over-under in Las Vegas for this team is now 71. It was 72.5. 3 weeks ago. The gamblers are pounding the under on this one. We did 3.5 weeks ago when it was 72.5. And before the game starts on Monday, you should pound it at 71. This Reds team will not be winning anywhere close to the mid-70s in terms of games won. But if you want a bottom line prediction, World Series, it's opening day. Everybody's got predictions. We'll tell you right now, our choice for the World Series champions, anybody can take the Cubs. Anybody can take the Indians. We're going to take the Houston Astros. And in fact, we'll say Astros versus the Washington Nationals in the World Series. There, you heard it here first. I would put San Francisco there if I knew they'd have anything in that bullpen. But after watching that team last year and then seeing the exact same thing happen yesterday, the Giants aren't making it. Houston and Washington, your World Series participants, with your 2017 World Champions, the Houston Astros. You heard it here first on The Bottom Line.
He's always like that. He's always telling fibs, lying. Wait, when do you ever tell the truth?
You're a good-looking guy.
What? Lied again, didn't I?
Speaking of the Giants on Sunday, Madison Bumgarner, who got a no decision, who deserved a much better fate. He was perfect through five innings. Hit not one, but two home runs. By the way, Madison Bumgarner's a pitcher. He's on pace for 324 home runs, and he had enough strikeouts in the game. He's on pace to strike out 1,784 batters this season. Oh, by the way, the Giants are also on pace for 0-162. That shows you how much these paces really mean.
I told him not to touch that midget. You never touch a midget. You never know where they've been.
You're disgusting. You're completely disgusting.
If you're a fantasy baseball player like me, you had to get your lineups in before the first pitch happened on Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern time. If you're like me, you weren't really paying attention. You're pretty much set, ready to go. But how would you like it if you owned a pitcher by the name of Roberto Osuna? He is the closer for the Toronto Blue Jays, and last year he had 36 saves. So you're looking at a team, hey, Toronto's a good team, got a good chance to win a bunch of games. If I get their closer, I'll get a lot of saves, I'll be fine. An hour, literally an hour before the season opened, Toronto announced they were putting Osuna on the disabled list. So unless you were sitting by your phone and got an update, or unless you were by your computer, you were out of luck. How do you know your fantasy baseball season is going to suck when the closer you pick gets put on the disabled list an hour before the season starts and you're stuck with him on your roster the first week of the season? That is when you know your fantasy season sucks. And believe me, there's a lot of people out there that got burned by that. So if you're playing fantasy baseball this year and that happened to you, why don't you just wait for the preseason fantasy football magazines to come out? Because you're already behind the eight ball.
Heck, saw Jim Duggan. What a cross-eyed sickle. You big buffoon. When you wrestle one member of the Heenan family, you wrestle the whole family. And when we're done with you, they're going to call you Jake Saw Jim. You know why? Because there's going to be a lot of missing pieces. Tough guy.
Other baseball news. A pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers named Tyler Cravey, who this spring pitched in 11 games and with a 2.03 ERA in spring training, was sent to the minor leagues. And he was so pissed off that he said, you know what? I'm just going to go out and find a 9-to-5 job where I'm treated like an actual human being. Oh, really? Tyler Cravey is not very good at his job. In the time that he has spent with the Milwaukee Brewers, his career record is 0-9 with a 4.56 ERA in 71 innings, all with the Brewers. So you're lousy at your job, and yet you're still making this year, whether you're in the majors or the minors, you're still making $537,500. So let me ask you this, Tyler Cravey, where else can you be in your mid-20s? Do you know many jobs in the real world that you could work 9-to-5 in your mid-20s with no experience in the workforce whatsoever, other than throwing a baseball as hard as you can, and you could go out and make over $500,000 a year? Because when you find that 9-to-5 job, why don't you tell me about it so I can go and get that same job right with you, buddy? Want to be treated like a human. Dude, you're getting over $500,000 this year. And even though you're going to the minor leagues, where you got to ride buses instead of fly first-class planes, they still feed you every day. You still get to go out and play a game every day for money. Oh yeah, by the way, you get a 4-month offseason too. Oh yeah, by the way, you get over where you don't have to do jack squat. Go work a 9-to-5 job. They might give you 2, maybe 3 weeks vacation a year. Go sit in a cubicle. Want to be treated like a human. Thank you, Tyler Cravey. I can't wait to see you in the real world.
Is Miss Elizabeth here? Is she in the building?
I've been told she is. I can't confirm.
Well, if she shows her face at ringside, you know what happened to her the last time. Jake the Snake Roberts slapped her face, and he'll do it again.
Eric Gagne is a former Cy Young Award winner with the Los Angeles Dodgers. He is now 41 years old, and he hasn't pitched in a game since he was 32 years old. Between the ages of 26 and 28, Eric Gagne for the Dodgers in three seasons had a 1.74 ERA, and in 247 innings, he had 152 saves. Easily the best relief pitcher of that period. And that includes two of the greatest of all time in their prime, Mariano Rivera and Trevor Hoffman. Gagne was better than them for 3 years. All of a sudden, in the offseason before 2004, Major League Baseball introduced steroid testing. And after that, Eric Gagne was toast. Between the ages of 29 and 32, Eric Gagne somehow lost his edge. His ERA after that, 4.28 in only 113 innings. He only had 35 saves after the age of 28. And I can guarantee you, it's because he couldn't pump steroids into his veins anymore. So now at the age of 41, Gagne wants to come back and sign a minor league deal with the Dodgers. Apparently, he's finally figured out how to pass a steroids test. Look, when you're 41 years old and all you had was a serious fastball because you're on steroids, you can get by with it when you're 26, 27, 28. When they make you stop taking steroids and now you're 41 years old, it ain't gonna be the same, brother. I'll promise you this. If they didn't start testing for steroids, Eric Gagne would be considered a Hall of Fame closer. That's how good he was before steroid testing. Look it up. But now, good luck. Just go home and look at your Cy Young Award on the mantle, Eric Gagne. You got it by cheating. And that's okay, because there's a lot of other people cheating back then too. Why don't you just ask the Dodgers for a 9-to-5 job? Apparently that's what retired pitchers want to do these days.
Yes, Indiana's favorite, Bobby. I'm not so sure about that, but nonetheless, Bobby Heenan will be a part of the record-breaking crowd set at the Indianapolis Hoosier Dome for WrestleMania.
I'm Indiana's favorite, Bobby.
I thought Bobby Knight was.
Bobby Knight is definitely Indiana's.
Who? Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight, basketball fame, Bobby Knight.
Coach. Oh, is that Gladys Knight's brother?
And that does it for the special Monday, April 3rd National Championship edition of the Bottom Line Lexington podcast, in which we took Gonzaga to defeat North Carolina. We ask you, please follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Email anytime, BottomLineLex@gmail.com. And like us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.